Hey, I thought I heard company. How did it?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ping.
Episode 115. Ping, of course, the weekly Microsoft news show, talking about all the important stories that Microsoft is pinging each other about over email, Facebook, IM, what, even the old telephone call.
Yeah.
You ping over the phone.
Yeah, because that's actually the phone system we have. It's called voice over IP. You have this really old thing where you just kind of do a little...
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't have that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
I do, however, have one of these.
Oh, look at that. Someone should make a hot app where you can, like, you can actually, like... spin something.
Turn it into like a rotary dial?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Rotary. It was over my head.
Rotary dial. Get one of those accessories with the cord that wangles and tangles like this and goes all the way around from like, the kitchen to the living room.
The wangly cord.
The wangly, tangly cord. They're usually yellow. Anyway, I wanted to make a couple of call-outs to this camera. Richard Hine, who hasn't been around. He's kind of like been in the background for a while. He hasn't posted on our
Is he a long-time Niner?
He's a long-time Niner.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, he's a long-time Niner.
Must have been before my time.
He was nominated, and I don't know if he won, but he was nominated for Most Helpful Niner at
Really?
90 Awards.
Oh, was I there for that?
The one that you hosted.
Who would have known?
You must have not presented that award.
Yeah, it must not have been on the teleprompter.
Anyway, Richard Hine came back, and he came back in full force writing a novel of interesting thoughts and comments and suggestions and feedback and opinions, and I'm going to let you guys go to our episode 114 and read it.
You're not going to recap all the different things that he said on how you can
link to things.
Yeah.
Talks about Kinect Fusion, 3D modeling.
Yeah, I'm sure his links I'm sure his links work better than the fast async link that you posted.
You know, this link that I posted worked. They must have changed it.
No, I think you were demonstrating the asynchronous technology where you could put one thing up and then asynchronously it's going to start working, like maybe later this afternoon.
Maybe, probably will,
yeah.
Now that it's been pointed out to me.
Richard Hine did say in the second comment that he posted there about how that he was thinking that we could use Kinect to empower Bing Maps and do some more interesting things with like Photosynth and like the 3D maps. And I think that's an interesting idea, but I don't think the Kinect sensor today actually has that long of a range. Like, I think it's
probably...
Well,
I think Richard Hine is looking into the future. I think Richard Hine is, you know, envisioning past what's right in front of your face right now today.
Well, see, that's precisely what I'm saying, is that you have to basically be right in front of the Kinect, and it can't be used like on the top of a car to like shoot buildings hundreds of
feet. If we didn't have people like Richard Hine thinking of like, where can we take this technology in the future, we'd never move forward. We'd be stuck dressing like you.
Yeah. Well, speaking of how I'm dressing, it notice it says no more underdog, so I'm really looking for my Twitter followers to step up their game. And get me...
How many shy away am I?
I don't even want to look.
I think I'm like 20 or 30 shy.
No, I'm guessing it's still in the 70 to 80 range. But anyway, Mad Librarian did call you out saying your form when you try and throw the nine guys at the camera...
I need to keep my...
Yeah, tuck
right,
the elbow.
Right. All right, and one last follow-up, and then we'll get to the actual news stories, is Lightbulb Larry Larson.
From Defrag?
From famous from Defrag. You know, he... pulled some strings and put me into some contact with some people in high places. And if you remember, we covered a story about the digital dress.
That oh, my gosh.
Essentially,
no way.
Yeah. So this woman's name is Sheridan. She's the designer of that dress. I'm meeting her with her later today. And she's going to design a custom piece of Ping Electronica fashion-forward wear.
What?
I know.
Where's mine?
You didn't try.
Oh,
you didn't
man.
Go out there.
I need to fish where the fish are.
You need to fish where the fish are. You
oh,
didn't.
Oh, man.
You went fishing where the nerds are.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
All right. I'll let you wear it.
Okay, we'll get started.
It's a skirt.
Yep. Awesome.
All right, everybody. As we've been talking about for a while now, very exciting, the Mango update is coming to Windows phones.
The Windows phone.
But you have to wait till the fall for that. But if you're a developer, we gave out the Mango SDK tools.
Yep.
And you've hopefully been developing apps with these new Mango set of tools. And now you can take those apps and submit them to the App Hub.
Yes.
So you can be the very first people in the marketplace with a Mango app.
Yep. Yeah, so the 7.1 version of the SDK, which is the release candidate for the Windows Phone SDK, has been out there, and that's actually the thing that allows you to help publish your apps to the Windows Phone marketplace. All of the existing apps that are...
30,000 of them?
Yeah.
30,000?
I don't know if we actually hit 30,000 or if it's like right around that number. I think it's
30,000?
Yes, give or take, you know, 700 to 900, but it's pretty close.
How long is this going to take?
So all 30,000 of those apps that will
I mean,
run
give or take.
on Yeah.
We'll run on existing non-Mango.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so they run on the non-Mango devices, but they'll also work with the Mango devices that come out this fall, especially the ones that are coming out in Japan, which mm-hmm. they're getting the first Mango.
So get out there, phone. And if you haven't already been developing, we'll link to where you can get the Mango developer tools, and be one of the first people out there with an app on Mango in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I'm sure it'll make it onto Hot Apps.
Probably.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Scott Adams Challenge, and Scott Adams, of course, is the creator of Dilbert.
Of course.
And he was complaining about his iPhone 3GS and an Android device that was basically dead on arrival.
Right.
And
he's frustrated.
And the senior director from Windows Phone, what's his name, Brandon Watson.
Brandon Watson, good friend of mine.
Gave Scott Adams a shout out, and he's like, look, you need to try one of these new Mango Windows phones, mm-hmm. and we're going to send you one, and I want to see if you think it's better than the experience that you've had with the iPhone 3GS and with your Android device, and if it's not, Brandon's like, I'm going to donate $1,000 to the charity of your choice.
Right.
So that was the call out, and then Scott Adams came back, and he's like, you do realize what I do for a living, which is to make fun of situations like this in technology.
And yeah, but you know what? So I think Brandon kind of put his neck on the line, although I'm not sure if it was a Mango device. I know it was Windows Phone. Do you have more information than I have?
I'm pretty sure he said Mango device.
Okay, good. So essentially, yeah, Brandon Watson went and he put his neck on the line to have this guy, you know, potentially tear him apart to shreds. But what happened, Paul?
Well, the most glorious thing of all glorious things happened, where Scott Adams actually, he got the device, he tried it out in the Bay Area where he lives, mm-hmm. and he basically reviewed in all these different categories how the Windows Phone compares to the iPhone 3GS and to his Android device.
Right, and he makes it clear that he is not a professional hardware tester or a software tester. He's a guy who makes fun of this stuff.
Yep.
So he put it based on, like, his user experience. You know, he didn't like, make a spreadsheet like Paul probably would have.
Oh, I totally would have, like, had, like, a bug bar or a rubric or whatever you
he
want to call
said,
it.
He just said, look, I like this interface better than this interface.
Or yeah, and this interface being the Windows Phone. He actually loved the Windows Phone.
He loved the Windows Phone. In fact, it got a great. iPhone got a good, and the Droid got a poor.
Yep.
He thought that the keyboards on all three were not good, he's probably maybe new to a touch screen.
That's my guess.
I
don't think he's probably that new to it, given that he has an iPhone 3GS, so he's probably had that for a while.
Yeah, you think that he's...
But
he still thinks the iPhone's poor, too. None of them scored well.
Right.
Fail.
Maybe he just likes the physical touch of things, because he's always, like, drawing comics and stuff like that.
I like the physical touch of things as well.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I sure do.
Stop the program!
Anyway, the apps, he did say that he was a bit disappointed. He said it was okay-ish on the Windows Phone.
We're
getting there.
We're getting there.
We got
especially with the new Mango app y'all are going to be writing.
Yeah, exactly. He also said that the coolest factor was not quite there yet for the Windows Phone, but I think with, like, all the great things that people love about the phone, it's just a matter of time before we can get your buddy Brandon Foy to go out there and make some cool
ads. I mean, that's just a matter of perception change, and once people, that's what they've always said, once they start using it and then go, ooh, it's Microsoft Phone, and they go, wow, this is really cool, then, you know. If you just told them it was made by another company, they'd probably think it was really cool.
Yeah, we should call it the Mango Phone 7.
We probably would do a little bit better.
I don't know.
Anyway, there was a bunch of people who were questioning whether or not this was a bribe, which Scott wanted to make very clear that this had nothing to do with a bribe. He's not allowed to take money for reviews or anything like that.
Yeah, and he clearly says that he has, like, no direct...
He has no financial interest in any of these companies, and that's why, you know, the money wouldn't be able to go to Scott. It would go to a charity, and regardless, the money will be given to the charity.
Yeah.
So
that was nice.
Yeah, so Brandon Watson's a pretty
I was
going
to say that, you know, he probably should have just said bad things about us, so the money would go to the charity, but the money is going to the charity anyway. That's great. But one thing I did find interesting is that the iPhone 3GS has poor call quality on AT&T in his area, but now he has a Windows Phone that's also on AT&T, and he said the call quality was great. So it actually surprises me that, like, the individual device itself could make that much of a difference.
Especially the same carrier.
Yeah, on the same carrier in the same area. So that really surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that experience. I've got people who don't have Windows Phone, and I'm on Verizon. And my house, as you know, is a little bit
in the boonies.
Hidden in the mountains.
Yeah, we'll just say that street side will never...
And my phone does work there when it's not raining. And a lot of my friends' phones don't work there, so I'm Verizon as well. So that's that. But anyway, happy Scott Adams liked the Windows Phone, and hopefully he's still using it.
Yeah.
And out there, and it's his primary mobile device.
Yeah, I think the next call-out that we're going to do to Scott Adams is to see if he can draw a character like Laura with all of her pointy hair.
It's not pointy anymore.
Oh, that's...
I could cut it.
You should.
Scott Adams draws me, I'll cut it. All right, Paul, we talked a little bit about last week about Steven Sinofsky's blog.
Yeah, the Very Build exciting. Windows 8 blog.
Build Windows 8. But
and their Twitter following that's already up to 13,000 followers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They had 10,000 last week. They're up to 13,000 now.
I should start tweeting what they... retweeting their tweets, and maybe I'll get a couple more followers and put this competition with you... can.
I think I should just probably work on Windows 8. That way I get, like, lots of followers.
Yeah, that's probably true, too. Yeah. I should go work for Xbox. Anyway, we've got a little bit of more news. Obviously, the Build conference coming up. Everyone's very excited about it. And one of the things that was recently announced is the new way of copying and pasting.
Yeah.
And they said this isn't really, like, a major, like, a glitzy glamour feature of the operating system, but it is something that on your day-to-day usage is going to make a difference.
Yeah, the telemetry shows this is, like, 50% of, like, or, like, the top 50% of tasks that happen in Windows is this type of feature.
For sure. So I mean, especially, you know, Sinofsky pointed out the vast amount of increase in, like, people with their photos and their videos, and it went from, like, you know, terabytes to petabytes, or, you know, exponentially increased. That's true.
Big numbers I don't understand, and bigger numbers that I don't understand.
Lots and lots to lots more. So the people are constantly copying and pasting and transferring files, and this is a way to sort of streamline that process.
Yeah, the blog actually has, as they've tweeted, that it has like 30% more comments than like any other blog post they have. It's at over 450 comments right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are definitely very interested in this. They have a 2.5-minute video that they show some of the new functionality of how when you're copying and you have like multiple long transfers that are going on, instead of having like all these windows that pop up for each individual transfer, it puts them into a nice sequence so you can see all of them, including additional details. Like you can see the change in your throughput rate over time.
Right.
And it's all sorts of interesting stuff.
You can pause one to speed another one up.
Yeah, exactly. So the way that I thought about this was kind of like the change in web browsing, where you used to have all these different web browsers open, and then they had tabs to make it so you have a single window and then multiple areas inside a window.
I still end up having multiple windows and multiple tabs within each window. But I'm a hoarder.
Right, you do that. Well, I kind of like being able to drag the tabs off and put them side by side with like the window key error, like arrow.
Oh, you do that?
Or the snap functionality you probably use, where you drag it to the side.
I don't use the snap functionality as much as I do use the side by side. So I can put a web page up and my Word doc up and plagiarize.
Got it. Because, you know, a copy and paste doesn't do the immediate plagiarization that you would probably want to do. Anyway, this is cool stuff. I love that the blog is introducing some of the fundamentals of an operating system that are actually being substantially improved, and I think this is going to be a huge delighter.
Yeah, this is going to be cool. We're excited. We'll know more, hopefully, at Build.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, we as Channel 9 and we, the larger we as Microsoft, has been making a large outreach to China.
Yes, and to the whole country.
To the whole country and to their developer community, for sure. We were launching, we may be in the process, I'm not sure if it has launched, China 9, which is essentially Channel 9 for China. You know, and
can you shorten it to Chi-9?
You probably could. Yeah. You'd have to talk to Charles Torre.
Or Nina.
That.
Nina. That's what we should call it. Nina. That sounds like what we'd launch in Germany.
Nine. Anyway, in aligned with that outreach towards China, we've teamed up with Renren.
Yes, Renren, the Facebook of China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now the way that it used to work and still does, but we're hoping to get a shift in that, is that you would have in China a social network for your work friends and a completely separate social network for your college or your school friends, and a completely separate social network for, you know, your family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was very,
You know this from going over to China and experiencing this yourself.
No, I've never been to China, but I have spoken with people on the Windows Phone team.
Okay.
Who talked to me about this and how it was a problem, and they're trying to streamline the login system and make it all sort of, you know,
well,
fluid.
Do you think that it's the login issues, or do you think that people just want to keep all those networks separate?
Well, the problem is they, you know, I can't speak for all the Chinese people.
My
Foy heritage, I can speak for those. You know, you can keep them separate, but to have one login would be so much easier.
Yeah, but I mean, it really depends, like, what the use cases are. Like, if they want to keep them separate for not so transparent reasons, mm-hmm. then I don't know if they want to have that single login. But I think that should they have difficulties with all these like individual sites that really do focus on each of those individual areas, and they do want to combine them, I think that having that single login should be a much, much better experience.
Well, and that's what Microsoft has, you know, partnered up with this RenRen team. So now for their MSN and instant messaging, you can log in with the one login and get to your social network, and that will include all of the MSN offerings.
Yeah, so I think this article said that there's nearly 500 million people in China that use the internet, and roughly, yeah. I think it was a fourth of those, like 124 million people actually use RenRen. So that's yeah. a huge subscriber base.
124.2 million users
and
at
with,
the end of June.
With Facebook being blocked in China, a lot of my coworkers that actually work in Shanghai are on RenRen, which is the Facebook of China, and then they're also on Weibo, which is the Twitter mm-hmm. of China, since there's probably some use where the government can actually look at a lot of that data and make sure that they're maintaining their social harmony over there.
Yes.
So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Microsoft plays well over in China and really helps aggregate a lot of these services together.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a culture that we need to tap into great.
Yeah.
So there we go.
I'll go to Shanghai next week, so...
Same in China.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, that wraps up episode 115 of Ping. I beg you, I implore of you.
To follow
I'm
at Ballmast
on Twitter. For you to follow at Elfoy so and we can put this competition in the bag,
yep.
call it a day, humiliate Paul, all wonderful things.
I mean, I already did the Microsoft prank show, even though, you know...
This is going to be much worse.
Yeah.
This okay. is going to be much worse.
Well,
I mean, worse than the beating your ego gets when I kick your butt in Scrabble all the time.
that never happens. Anyway, the stats are that you have 390 new followers,
all right.
so you need 110.
110.
And I need about 417 more followers. So, come on, no more
neck
underdog.
Neck and neck. I want this done by next week. And that's it. And I'm going to go ahead and take Mad Librarian's suggestion. He says, keep your elbow under your hand and throw it like throw a basketball. He doesn't know that I'll throw basketballs. Oh, no, it's close.
I mean, I'm looking at the sidearm.